For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
You ready for draft week, Keith?
Of course I'm ready for draft week. Anybody who's listened to this show for the last 3 months knows we are ready for draft week. We've been wall-to-wall draft since the Patriots botched the last week of the season. We found out they were picking fourth.
I'm not sure anybody is more ready for draft week.
We are ready.
Than you and I.
That's right.
Tons of draft coverage on the program today.
Wall-to-wall.
Wall-to-wall, as we like to say.
Tip to tail.
We'll give you five players we like in this draft for the Patriots, regardless of where that is. We'll tick those off. At 10:45, we'll give you another hate it or love it. 11:45, Tetaroa McMillan.
Oh, yeah. Shime likes him quite a bit.
He's quite high.
Yeah, yeah.
On T-Mac, Tet
McMillan.
See how
that goes.
Comes your way at 11:45. We'll cover all of the Patriots draft busts at 11:30 on a Tier Tuesday. It's also a Tommy Tuesday. Tommy Curran joins us at high noon and a Kiefer Madness for you at 12:45. And if that's not enough.
Jam-packed.
It's also a two for Tuesday.
Stop it.
Here on WEEI. I will be giving away four pairs of tickets. See the Red Sox take on the Twins May 3rd at Fenway Park. Stay tuned. About 25 minutes from now, you'll have an opportunity to win those. We'll be doing it all day long here on WEEI through WEEI Afternoons. We'll get to all your feedback on the phones throughout the course of the day. 617-779-7937. That's also your text number. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keith. Still time to vote in yesterday's Hate It or Love It. Mm. We snuck one in on the day off.
Sure Keith. Did. No, there are no days off.
There are no days
like
off.
A famous head coach once said.
Jalen Walker, front seven defensive player, edge player for Georgia. You can go vote at Jones and Keith. You can watch along and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. And watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Plenty of draft stuff coming up. We'll get to the Celtics as well. They got a victory over the weekend. Jason Tatum, a little boo-boo in that game. So some thoughts on that. But let's start with the Red Sox. We were just talking about this with Greg in the crossover. They take 3 out of 4 from the White Sox. That's what I wanted them to do. That's what I borderline demanded going into this series. They still drop 3 games to the White Sox out of 7. They're 2 games over .500. I would say they haven't quite been up to the expectations that I had for them. How much stock do we put into these last 4 games, the series against the White Sox? Have the Red Sox turned it around?
Well, they needed it desperately, and still losing 3 times to a White Sox team that is 5-17 on the year.
Not great.
Is brutal. And this happened last year, too. We looked it up, right? Weren't they 4-3 against the White Sox last year?
Yep.
When they lost a historic number of games? So there's, I mean, once you lose the series in Chicago, I mean, what else were you going to do? Obviously, it would have been nice to get the sweep, but they just needed to start piling up some wins because this team has been pretty streaky to start the year. There's been times where you're like, oh, wow, this team is good. This is like the playoff predicted team that everybody had. Then there's times where you're like, how are you losing all these games to Toronto and then to the White Sox? Like, what are you doing? You can't get out of your own way. But I think one positive thing is some of their pitchers, not named Garrett Crochet, have started to turn in some good performances, even though I know it's not a murderer's row with the White Sox. But whatever, you got to beat the teams that are there in front of you. So just that series alone, right, ignoring the fact that you struggled in Chicago, I'll take it 3 out of 4. I mean, as bad as the White Sox are, it's hard to, you know, take a 4-game sweep in there. So I look at it as a positive. All of a sudden, I know they're only a couple of games over 500, but they're a game and a half behind the Yankees. They're in second place in the division. So, they're not in a bad spot through 24 games.
Okay, I agree. Going into the series, it's hard to demand a 4-game sweep.
Yeah, but the White Sox are so bad.
Well, but then you watch Sunday as well, and you see how it played out, and it's like you blew a lead in that game, right?
Yeah.
You got a better start, not great, but a better start at a Tanner Houck. You're up 4-2. You're into the late innings, and your bullpen falls apart. I mean, Zach Kelly gets charged with a bunch of runs. Justin Wilson's the one who gave him up. Liam Hendricks, we're all rooting for him this year.
Zach Kelly has struggled.
He has not been good.
Struggled.
Liam Hendricks gets in there. It's his first appearance. We're all rooting for him, but that wasn't a good appearance out of him.
No.
So I agree with you, Keith. It's hard to demand a 4-game sweep, even against a trash team like the White Sox. But they win 3 out of 4. The one they don't win in the middle, the bullpen imploded and blew that game. You wasted a start for Tanner Houck. So I still am frustrated with that. I'll take 3 out of 4. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the Red Sox have been frustrating is how I would put it.
Yeah, no, they definitely have. I think the expectations were high for the first time in years around here. And, you know, they win the opener. And you're like, all right, here it is. Here's the formula. You know, they're going to be able to pitch, hit, and field. And then you see so many games where you're like, all right, well, they can't field. They can't pitch today, or then they can't hit today. They've had way too many games where they've scored 1 or 2 runs for a lineup like on paper that looks as strong as it is. So they've definitely gotten out of the gates really slowly. Like there's no doubt about it. But nobody has just taken off, right? Like the Yankees have the best record in the division, but they're not world beaters by any stretch.
No.
So they're more than, you know, kind of hanging around, kind of finding their footing. Some guys have had a solid month. Other guys have had a terrible month. And then you like to think they can take this and be better. Like this is sort of a find it kind of period for them. And then they're going to be the team that we expected.
So who's the guy to talk about coming out of this weekend? To me, there's an obvious name, but I'll give you a few options if you want.
All right.
You know, Christian Campbell's been hitting really well. He's always on the list. Trevor Story, another big weekend for the team.
He's been really good because I'm not the big Trevor Story fan, so I'll admit he's been awesome so far.
Buehler and Houck both had better starts. Houck didn't get the win on Sunday. Buehler did get the win yesterday. Those are guys we had been concerned about. Crochet was awesome again over the weekend. And then you get to the guy that I would highlight, Tristan Casas.
Yeah, of course.
Who was dropped in the order again. He's batting 7th now, Keith. So he continues to drop down. It was 4,
only
six,
a couple more spots to go.
7. Yeah. There's only so many stops before you're in Worcester.
Yeah.
He is hitting after an 0-for-4 day yesterday, 158. He did get the walk-off in extra innings on Saturday.
Right.
So it wasn't all bad for Tristan Casas, though I don't know that his teammates were overly fired up for
him. Although I needed the run line that day, not the money line, so that did not help me.
What do you do with Tristan Casas if you're the Red Sox? Like, they're already doing what I think they can by dropping him down in the order and trying to take some pressure off. He's already not playing every single day, right?
Right.
I think he played in 3 out of the 4 games in this series. So he's already getting days off against lefties. What else can you do? How long is the leash for a guy like Tristan Casas who, I mean, even people who were down on him were expecting more than this?
Well, thankfully for him, other guys in the lineup are hitting, right? Like, I don't think their offense is exactly where you want it to be. He's one of the reasons because he was penciled in as the cleanup hitter to start the year. But guys like Story and guys like Bregman and guys like Christian Campbell are at least hitting. You're winning more games than you're losing as of late. They don't have a great backup plan at first base, first of all. But the expectation for him is so high, right? Like, oh, well, he just was battling injuries the last couple of years. But if he's healthy, Craig Breslow said 40, 110, 120 for him. 40 home runs.
Yeah, it's a lot.
He's got one. He's sitting on one.
He just missed one on Saturday. If you want to give him the second one?
I'm not going to give him that one. I was just looking at his stats, and it's wild. So he's hitting a .158, which is obviously terrible.
It sounds high.
It is. I don't remember all those hits.
Yeah, where'd they all come from?
.466 OPS. Another thing that kind of just stands out, he has scored 3 runs. I know that's not like a number we look at a lot, but just compared to the other guys on the team, Carlos Narvaez has scored 6 runs.
Wow.
Tristan
doubled him up.
Doubled him up. Yeah. And he's played way less games. But Casas isn't doing anything. So what do? You kind of need this guy. Also, if you're projecting forward, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. isn't joining the Red Sox next year.
Gone.
So he is your first baseman for this season, and either you're praying that he's your first baseman next season, or you have you could trade him. And like right now, his trade value would be in the absolute toilet. Even if you know if he plays out this year, I think you have to stick with him for, I don't know, a couple weeks.
So we talked about
couple
this last
more
week.
Weeks. I mean, yeah.
I was like, ideally, you get to June 1st. You get through the first 2 months
June.
Of the year. Yeah,
I don't, that's patient.
But I'm saying I don't actually think I can get that far.
Okay.
I think the fair thing to do would be make it that far. Yeah. I can't keep watching this.
But
I can't keep watching this.
It's bad.
If this
no,
is what it
bad.
Is for 2 months. Like I got impatient a long time ago, Keith. We were probably doing weekends at the Sports Hub at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And David Ortiz had those slow starts in what was it, like 08 and 09. And people were getting impatient. Maybe it was 9-10, I forget the exact year.
Yeah.
With David Ortiz, I was getting impatient.
Right.
I'm like, it's May.
Yeah, yeah.
Do something with this guy. Now, obviously, I was wrong.
Yes.
If you want to say that that's an example, or Pedroia or a million other
Pedroia
ones
stands out.
Are examples of guys
one.
That you need to be patient with, well, then fine. I get it. It's baseball. Guys are ice cold. Guys heat up. It does happen. But I'm just making the point. I barely had the patience for an all-time great Red Sox like David Ortiz.
Yeah, Casas not that.
Never mind this guy.
No, I know. Well, if Roman Anthony played first base, this would be a much different conversation. If Marcelo Meyer played first base, this would be a different conversation. There is no backup. Every other first baseman that we're talking about isn't even actually a first baseman. Like Roman Gonzalez, not a first baseman. He's playing out of position when he plays over there. Some of the other people are like, what about Devers? What about this guy? Nobody else is actually a first baseman. Like they need him to figure it out. They expected him to be, as long as he was healthy, to be really good. And he's been terrible. And so at what point does a slow start just turn into like an awful season? Because Rafael Devers couldn't have gotten out to a slower start. And it actually also took a lot of the attention away from Casas because he was also in a just as bad of a funk.
Devers has not been much better.
No,
than
he
Casas.
Hasn't.
I mean,
but
he's
at least
been better, but not by much.
But Devers at least heated up a little bit, but now he's cooled back off. But he had that historic 0-for-20, 15 Ks or whatever the numbers were. Casas was in like a similar boat, but people were all fixated on Devers. And you're right. Maybe we should start talking about Devers again because he is really cooled off. He's hitting .213. He only has two home runs.
Right.
So he's not doing a lot better. But
in fairness, he's walked a bunch. The strikeouts have plateaued. I mean, they were horrendous.
Oh, his OPS
in
is
the
like
first
200
four
and something points higher. So like, he's not playing well, but he's way better than Casas.
Two homers and 12 RBI. Exactly. I was just going to say, I mean, I said he hasn't been that much better. He's been better.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people were celebrating a little too quickly when he had like one hot series.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the whole team did against the Cardinals. But whatever, he's been much better than Casas.
No, Casas has been brutal. And this is, you know, is this going to be solely a Alex Cora decision? Is this a Breslow decision? Like, where does this go to? Because
well,
they don't
me,
have an obvious replacement.
Let me invite a little bit more.
Okay.
Is it the decision of the team on some level? Like, do they look at it and go, they can't stand this guy? And, Keith, you and I are two of the few who have watched most of the clubhouse. I still haven't finished it.
I haven't finished
it. Okay, I watched 6 of the first 8.
Yeah.
I still have 2 sitting there. Waiting to watch.
Whatever you want.
It's in line behind Celtic City. I got other stuff to watch. I got things going on.
NBA playoffs.
Not much in my life, to be clear. But I got things going on. I got those last two that I got to watch.
Andor starts tonight.
But there are times where you look at Tristan Casas and you're like, oh, okay, other teammates don't mind him. Cutter Crawford, like, I know you guys were really annoyed watching that breakfast. I think Cutter Crawford kind of likes him, if I had to judge. I think Duran...
Or is he just being polite in
well,
front of
maybe.
The camera?
Maybe he's just a super polite guy.
No, maybe they like Casas.
Duran seems to kind of put up with him.
Yeah.
But there were a couple of times, Keith, where he's in there and he makes a bad play at first base. And Brian Baio is freezing him out.
Baio runs hot, though, I think.
He does.
Yeah.
And he did that
Which
to
I respect.
Wong. He did that to Duran.
Yeah, yeah,
he
yeah.
did that in fairness to a lot of people. Good
right.
point. There's another time, I think it was a Yankees series, where Casas doubles and he has a brain fart and starts trying to steal third and gets thrown out by a country mile.
Yeah,
and he comes to the dugout and the whole team, Cora.
Iced him.
The whole team iced
him
out.
They talked to him.
I don't want to say they quite did that after the walk-off over the weekend, Keith.
Oh.
But it was not a jubilant celebration.
Interesting.
We're going to play you some audio from Casas coming up.
Okay.
Where he's kind of, after the game, you know, they'll do this on Nesson all the time. They'll get the guy who gets the walk-off and they'll come dump a Gatorade cooler on his head.
And
the whole interview, Cass is kind of looking over his shoulder. He's like, looking over his shoulder. I was like, And finally, at the end of the interview, he's like, kind of thought I was going to get a Gatorade bath. So I don't know that it's just a Breslow decision, who I think Breslow will be patient with him.
Yeah.
I think if it were up to Cora, they already would have moved on. And I'm starting to wonder about the clubhouse and how they feel about him, because I think there's now some tangible evidence that they don't seem the biggest fans of Tristan Casas.
No, I know. And when you go back and look at it, his rookie year, he was like hot for a couple months, like at the end. And is that kind of what we're basing all this on? And like the hope and the expectation and what he can be? Because last year was really a lost season for him. And it was one of those ones where they put the timetable on it, but the timetable was so ridiculous. I think that when they first announced his rib injury, he was like, like 3 to 9 weeks. You're like, why even do that?
What did he say again? He's like, the doctor told me it was like a car crash. They've never seen anything like it.
It's just because I'm big and I swing. I'm like, yeah, you're the only big guy in baseball who swings. Give me a break. No idea what he's talking about. But yeah, last year he played in 63 games. So his rookie year he played in 132. But if I remember correctly, it was really the last couple of months he kind of turned it on. Got pretty hot and finished with, 24 home runs and at least like a really promising future. But how long do you stick with a guy like that? Because like to your point, there have been other guys with established track records like David Ortiz. Or when we were going through the Devers numbers, you found like a few other guys, right, that had horrible starts.
Devers has the track record.
But you have a baseball card you can look at the back of and you're like, all right, well, I know he's going to do this. Like, what do we know about Tristan Casas? He's never played a full season. So I don't know if we're like, oh, he's going to snap out of it at some point. It's like, well, based on what?
So we get these a lot. Roman Anthony, you could start working him out at first base. I'd be more open to that than Marcelo Meyer. I see a text on that, 617-779-7937. Guys, they've got to have Meyer play some first in AAA.
All right, I got an idea for
you. What did Meyer tell us when we...
just wants to play in the majors.
Friend of the show?
Yep.
We talked to him. He put the big meat hook on Keith and my shoulder.
Oh, he's got huge mitts. First baseman mitts.
When we talked to him, he said he was going to play, I forget, was it 4 days at short and then a day at second and a day at third? Is that what he told us?
Yeah, maybe mixing a day at first.
Okay, so maybe they start mixing in a day at first. I personally wouldn't do that. I would not waste Meyer at first. Anthony, I would consider. I'm not even sure I'd do that.
No.
But I consider that. We're getting texts on Ref Snyder. You've brought up, or maybe you were about to bring up again, Yoshida is one you've talked about.
Yeah, but that got shot down because he's like a pocket-sized guy. But somebody texted me.
He's a teeny, tiny, itty-bitty little guy.
I got an idea over the weekend
from
someone. They said.
Oh, so someone else had an idea.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just passing it along. They don't have a show right now, so I'll pass it along.
Someone else had an idea.
Not my idea. Well, neither was the Yoshida idea. I don't have any ideas. Yeah, okay. So Yoshida is apparently too small, right? That's what everybody says. They see him there. Too small. He's 5'8". Which, whatever, you can play big at 5'8". You wear, like, high cleats or something.
Yeah.
Christian Campbell. Do you know how tall Christian Campbell is?
I don't. Six.
Go ahead.
One.
Three.
Nice.
6'3". Wow. That sound like a first baseman to you?
Sounds like the size. I mean, he's a bit of a beanpole over there. Yeah.
Yeah, he's thin.
Look, Keith.
He's wiry.
Keith, I already told you this.
He's
if you're just worried about the target at first base and a lot of mass, surface area, stick Devers over there.
No.
If you want a target.
Do you want a tall guy over at first base?
You know what?
Campbell,
I had not considered.
How good is he at second base?
Okay, does the bat play at first?
Yeah, well, if you're getting like Meyer in at second, because Casas is your first baseman right now. How's his bat playing?
Oh, good point.
I'm just looking at an overall upgrade.
But that's kind of the Will Campbell logic of like, well, he's better at left tackle than anything you got. It's like, well, right, but is he a left tackle?
No, so Campbell
would be a better bat at first base than Casas. Who wouldn't right now? Based on the way they're hitting. But is he a bat at first base?
Well,
I don't know about that.
He's got more power than I thought.
Fair.
Campbell. So maybe he can do it. And if you have an infield of Campbell, Meyer, Story, Bregman, that's pretty good, right? Especially if Meyer comes up and if he's also hitting. So maybe you lose some of the power. Because like the power was all projected with Casas. Like, we haven't seen it. I mean, his rookie year, what, 24 taters? Like, all right, that's good. But
Breslow put 40 on it. Yeah.
He's supposed to, like, based on that, Breslow thought he was going to lead the team in home runs.
It's true.
Guys, not even close.
So you could jump in on this. How long is the leash for Casas? What do you do? Anthony, Meyer, Campbell's an interesting one. Should they start getting Devers over at first base? There are rumors he's been taking grounders over there. So you can get into all of it here. Red Sox weekend, they take 3 out of 4 from the White Sox. How much stock do we put into it? And how good are the Red Sox actually now, what, 24 games into the year, 13-11, 2 games over .500, and they lost 3 out of their 7 against one of the worst teams in baseball. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Sox. We'll give you more with Tristan Casas getting frozen out by his teammates. What does that mean for him in Boston long term? We got tiers for you on a Tier Tuesday at 11:30, the Patriots' biggest draft bust since 2000. There's a shocking amount of material that we're going to get to at 11:30. We have Hate It or Love It, 11:45, Tet McMillan. We'll give you five players we each like in the draft. We'll see how similar, how dissimilar those lists are at 10:45. Tommy Curran on a Tommy Tuesday at High Noon, and a Kiefer Madness at 12:45.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
What are you looking for over there?
Nah, I don't know, man. I was trying to anticipate a water cooler. I was going to hug you and keep you with me.
All right, well, they let you off the hook this time, man. Thanks so much, Tristan.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Tell me you caught some of that on Saturday.
That was a good catch.
Tristan Cassis,
yeah,
who has been ice cold, remains ice cold.
Freezing.
Was hoping to be a little colder with the Gatorade bath.
That was the hope.
And he's looking over his shoulder with Jemai Webster on Nesson.
You guys going to get me?
Going, hey.
Like, guys, I bet you can't get me.
And, like, that was for 2 minutes, Keith. Yeah. Like, the whole interview, he's kind of looking over his shoulder the whole time, and he's like,
huh?
Webster finally says,
where are the fellas?
He's like, by the way, what are you looking at? And he's like, oh, I kind of thought they were going to dump Gatorade on me.
He's like, I see dead people. I saw a ghost of baseball past.
So it may not just be up to Breslow and Cora. Maybe the clubhouse has a little something to say about it on top of that, because Tristan Cassis not seeming like the most popular guy based on how his teammates were acting after a walk-off. Should have been a jubilant moment.
Yeah. Series win, walk-off win.
I know it's just maybe they were just like, hey, dude, it's the White Sox. When you walk it off against a real team, we'll dump Gatorade on your head. We don't celebrate like that against the White Sox.
Hilarious.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll get more into that coming up here on Jones and Keefe. Busy, busy day, but it's also a two for Tuesday.
What is it?
It's a twofer Tuesday.
Twofer, twofer, twofer Tuesday.
Let's roll.
Be caller 9 right now to the contest line. 617-931-0937. And if you have today's code word, you will score a pair of tickets. See the Red Sox take on the Twins May 3rd at Fenway Park. Again, caller 9 right now to the contest line. 617-931-0937. Give the code word, two tickets, Red Sox, Twins, May 3rd, Fenway Park. On a two for Tuesday, we have another pair to give away at 11:30. We'll be doing it all day long here on WEEI. Started with Greg's show, continues with us here on Jones and Keefe, and through WEEI Afternoons, which I guess are not WEEI Afternoons today. It is
Fitzy,
Curtis, Ken, FCK is what they were calling.
Oh, that's right, because Hart and Ted are en route to the draft. They're going to be in Green Bay for the draft.
En route to Lambeau.
Lambeau.
Is where they're going.
Pretty exciting.
So stay tuned for that all day long. Here on WEEI, am I making too much of that?
They didn't properly celebrate.
They didn't dump Gatorade on his head. He's kind of calling them out for not dumping Gatorade on his head.
No, that's a great catch, because these guys celebrate all kinds of stuff. You know, I remember going back to the clubhouse, like there were moments guys make his debut, they'd celebrate that. Oh. Any kind of walk-off, they celebrate. Like, they find ways to celebrate things.
Great point. We saw this on the clubhouse on Netflix.
Yeah.
Keith and I are two of the only people who actually watched it. I'm six episodes in. Yeah. There's two more to go. But they're celebrating all kinds of little nonsense after the game.
Everything. Guy making major league debut, which is cool. Like, it just seems like it's a long grind of a season. These guys look for reasons to sort of celebrate, which I have no problem with. Like, go ahead. Walk off hit. Great. Go ahead. Have a good time. And we've seen them for years do it. Remember, what was the girl's name? Oh, Garen Austin. Remember, she would get Gatorade.
Oh, yeah.
Every game they would dump Gatorade on her.
Something tells me that was less about the gentleman celebrating and more about drenching that poor girl.
That girl got smoked every single game with that stuff. But, yeah, like, so it's pretty commonplace to say, like, all right, walk-off hit, you're going to get something like that. And the fact that he's, like, looking around for it, because nobody probably wanted to do it. Clearly, nobody did do it. I wonder if he even got brought up or they just were like, forget it. Yeah, that is an odd thing.
So,
and then him making a big deal out of it.
If he's not well-liked by his teammates, if he's hitting and he's not well-liked by his teammates, is that a valid reason to move on from him?
Well, if he's hitting?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm keeping
him. So same.
Yeah. No, if he's hitting 40 home runs, I don't care if they all hate him.
But here's where he's in trouble. He's not hitting. He's been dropped from cleanup to 6th to 7th.
Right.
He did have the walk-off. It led to nothing. He's getting days off against lefties. So now your teammates don't like you, your manager's done with you, and you're not hitting? If that's the situation, and we're reading into it, but if that's the situation, it's not much of a leash for this guy.
All right, his rookie year, he hit in April and March, it was 25 games played, he hit .133. Pretty rough.
That's not great.
In the month of May, he hit .257.
I'll take that. I'd take .257 right now.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
In the month of June, he hit .286.
Ugh.
The month of July, .349.
Okay.
August, .294. And then September, October, .265.
Okay, I think you're onto something, Keith.
So a really miserable, slow start. Then Bradford pointed these numbers out, too, a couple weeks ago. I think it was like a 20-game sample or whatever. But he was really cold. In fact, his rookie year, he hit 7 home runs just in July. But, like, are you waiting around till July? Or are you going to try to find somebody else to come up and take a spot?
So our guy Dice on Twitter brought this up. Guys, hear me out.
All right.
It's been rainy.
True.
It's been cloudy.
No doubt.
Cassis just needs to soak up more sun pregame in the outfield, and then he'll be fine. Your numbers speak to that.
Vitamin D. You might be a warm weather player.
Needs a little more vitamin D.
Another reason why the Red Sox might want to move on. If he sucks in April, May, September, October.
Yeah, but you got to wait that out before
that middle period.
You can't sell now. You got to wait till he heats up a little bit.
Yeah, I guess.
And then sell. One more here. This is good. That water cooler clip makes me actually feel bad for Cassis. He's the kid nobody likes but doesn't even realize it.
Yeah.
Does he think they're all his best buds?
Probably.
I mean, let me just say this. Who knows what that guy thinks?
Yeah, it's hard. It could change on the daily.
It's hard for me to feel too bad for him when a lot of this feels self-inflicted.
Yeah, I would say so.
You know, we saw, again, to keep referencing the clubhouse, when he's painting his nails, he's getting his nails done. And I forget who asks him, but they're like, why do you do this? And he's like, just to hear people like yell and scream at you and fire him up. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, I want people to hate it.
And that's fine. Okay. If that's your attitude, fine. Yeah, don't be surprised when it blows back on you.
It is funny.
As somebody who's dealt with a lot of blowback in their time, like, don't be surprised when it comes back around.
It's also, like, going back to that walk-off on Saturday, you would think if there was another guy struggling to that degree, even more reason to maybe dump the water on
100%.
Him, right? And go crazy and, like, the Gatorade or whatever. I feel like you might even go out of your way, like, if it was Devers. Right. And like having like the start of the season that he's having, like, hey, maybe this has changed. Maybe this has unlocked you a little bit. And then you have some fun and you kind of move on from it. But they're like, no, we'll take the win. Well, let's go home.
We would rather have lost than celebrate with this guy. We would rather the White Sox won this thing than celebrate with you.
Yeah. Yikes. No, I mean, he is right now the face of why they're not better. Right. Like they have a winning record. They're, you know, 1.5 games out of the of first. They're in a wild card spot if you're looking at all that stuff. But expectations were pretty high. Like, we were both saying, like, 90 wins. And you kind of penciled him in the middle of the lineup. And not that I don't think either of us predicted him to be an all-star, but you thought there's going to be some pretty consistent power numbers there in the middle of the in the lineup, which would make everybody better. And just it hasn't been there.
So I kind of think he's the face of it. Red Sox win 3 out of 4. Which, good. I mean, they needed to win 3 out of 4. The one they lost on Sunday, the bullpen blew. They should have swept all these games. They're still only 2 games over .500. Their run differential's not good. And Cassis has been a major, major disappointment. I agree. He's kind of the face of where the Red Sox are at. You can jump in on all of it. 617-779-7937. Our pal JP is in North Providence. What's up, JP?
Jones, Keith. Hey, Jones, quick question first. We talk about the clubhouse there, intense. It's you could cut the air. We talking Jones Cattle kind of a situation in there? Because
I don't know. That's a good question. Sometimes the tension is very one-sided. Yeah. That's a good point. I don't know how to comp that on a scale. Yes.
So, first baseman, I'm going to ask a stupid question because I've asked many over the years, and you guys know that.
True.
So, big third baseman become first baseman. You got Cecil Fielder. You've got Mo Vaughn. You've got over history.
When did they play third?
Cecil Fielder was a third baseman?
JP, they didn't play third base.
Move him to first. Why did they never try Devers at first, and why can't they try Devers at first?
Okay.
So I guess they could.
Why do you think they're not trying Devers at first?
Because he probably stinks at it, and they convinced him that he's the DH, so you don't want to walk back to him and be like, hey, remember we told you to throw out your glove? Like,
or
we need you.
Or, that all very possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they asked him, and he's like, I'm not doing it.
Well, he also said that about DH.
You guys already took third base away from
bluff.
Me.
Calls bluff.
No, you can't.
He said he wasn't going to be the DH. He's been the DH every game.
Just write him into the lineup.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do at?
Grab
do
a
at.
Ball, get out there, yeah. and get you know warm the guys up a little bit.
He might be terrible at first, but there were people who wanted him to keep playing at third. Like the Twitch chat, they've all vanished. But people wanted him to play at third. So if you thought he was a good enough third baseman or an adequate third baseman, there's a chance he could be a better first baseman. I think he was a terrible third baseman.
He was.
That doesn't inherently
he was the worst.
It doesn't inherently make him a bad first baseman.
I'm not putting him at first.
Let's see. And when I say let's see, try it out. Have him take some grounders. Work at it. I bet he does. It's a guess. I bet he doesn't want to do it, and he won't play ball. And he's like, no, no, no. You guys took third base away from me. You wanted to be me to be a DH. So now I'm the DH, and you guys got to figure it out. You made me the DH. That's what I am. That's where I'm going
to
stay.
So I'm not. That, even if that's true, I personally wouldn't even move him to first base. I would say you're just the DH. That's fine, and we're going to go the rest of the season, and maybe even the rest of your contract as you just as the DH. If you put, because if you're trying to make the best lineup possible, and you put Devers at first base, who's your everyday DH?
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer eventually could be Yoshida, but I don't even know how much of an upgrade that is.
Right.
But I think that would be the idea, is that's a way to get him into the lineup, and now Devers is at first.
Yeah, I guess. And I just feel like we saw firsthand with Kyle Schwarber how not everybody can just play first base. Mm-hmm. And he tried it. And like, give him credit. Like, he was a great teammate, and he would have played any position you wanted him to, but not everybody can do it. And when you have a guy that has zero range at third base, now you're sticking him at first base, where it's not as difficult.
It's not ideal. I'll grant you, it's not ideal.
Yeah. I think it might be a tough spot. And you should have been doing this 2 months ago, right? Like,
oh yeah,
as
for sure.
you're playing it out, you're like, all right, we have a couple of third basemen, as it turns out, but it's going to be Bregman. You're having Meyer play all these positions. You have Sadon Rafaela who can play all these positions. Who else was going to play first base? So even if Casas was hot as a pistol, let's say he hurts his ribs again. Who's playing first base? Like, I don't think they had that prepared.
Give me your idea again. Well, somebody else's idea.
Somebody else's idea, which is now my idea. I've usurped it. It is Christian Campbell.
You know what?
Slide him over to first.
I think I like that better than
Anthony. 6'3".
I like that. He's not a second baseman. No, I think we're seeing that.
Doesn't seem like it.
So I think I like that better than Meyer Devers. Or Anthony there.
Yeah, same.
I probably still would put Devers there, but okay, fine. Devers is pouting and he's the DH. I wouldn't move Meyer to first. I definitely wouldn't do that. I don't love the idea of Anthony at first. Could Campbell play first, and that's a way to get Meyer up to the big leagues at second base?
Yes.
Maybe. That's not a bad idea. 617-779-7937. What's the leash for Tristan Casas? Is it ever going to work in Boston? And part of his problem is it seems like his teammates hate him. You could jump in on the phones. We will give away another pair of tickets to the Red Sox and the Twins May 3rd at Fenway Park. That's part of a 2 for Tuesday. Here on WEEI, it's a Tommy Tuesday, Tommy Curran at High Noon, a Tier Tuesday. We're going to tier off all the biggest draft busts since 2000 for the New England Patriots. Plus, on the way next, more draft thoughts. 5 guys we like. I have a list. Keith has a list. We'll give it to you next.
Who are this year's sleepers, blue chippers, and busts?
With the 4th pick, the New England Patriots select.
Find out with Jones and Keefe's draft preview.
Draft week, finally here, Keith.
Woo!
NFL draft is 2 days, 9 hours, 12 minutes. Actually, 11 minutes, 58, 57.
Oh, we are so close.
56 away.
You can taste it.
Inching right up.
Yeah.
Before we get into 5 guys we like.
Yeah.
We'll give you those lists today. We'll give you the 5 guys we don't like tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be at draft day.
Here we go.
I think we're going to talk to Scheim on draft day.
Good get by us.
Nice. We had to do some negotiating.
That's right.
We were able to get Scheim
in-house. He's the busiest guy this season because he's doing
so many strings to pull.
Yeah. He's doing the Greg Hill show,
yep.
as he always does.
Yep.
He's going to do our show, and then he's doing the all-night draft party.
The full-on all-night draft party.
That's right.
So a lot of work for Scheim this week, and he does good stuff. We'll talk to him on Thursday. I forgot we were talking about this before the show. Peter Schrager, now at ESPN, formerly of NFL Network. Who, by the way, I think a few years running now has the most accurate mock draft. When it comes out.
Okay.
He's like Jeremiah. He's like, it's more info than like, you know, him watching tape.
He's an insider.
So Schrager puts out one mock. I think it's usually the day of the draft or the day before the draft. Very, very accurate.
Wow.
He had a report today that the Browns and Giants at picks 2 and 3 are fielding trade calls and they're not turning them away.
How about this?
And the teams are looking to move up for Ashton Jeanty.
Curveball.
What I mean,
Curveball.
I don't want to dismiss Schrager because he is an insider. He talks to all these people. He's very plugged in.
Yeah.
But this one feels fake to me.
Possible.
Yeah.
But the Shedeur Sanders stuff has been kind of all over the place, right? Like, some people think he could go in the top three. Others think he could go in the second round. Like, it is all over the map with Shedeur Sanders. I do feel like Ashton Jeanty, though, has kind of picked up a lot of steam. Well, usually it's quarterbacks that fluctuate wildly, but look, this guy.
I love Jeanty.
So do I. But
if Hunter's there at two, I'm taking Hunter. If Carter's there at three, I'm taking Carter. Like, as much as I like Jeanty, and I feel like I am very, very high on him.
How about this?
I would take those other guys over.
What about this? The Giants feel like maybe they'd like to do the Saquon Barkley thing over again. And they're like, we kind of screwed the pooch there. And if Travis Hunter is off the board,
run it back.
They could maybe just take him. Or you're talking about some of these other teams. So if you're talking about a trade up, right? So that means the Browns or the Giants would, I guess, pass on all these top players. The Bears, could they trade up to get Ashton Jeanty? Because a lot of the early mock drafts had the Bears and Ben Johnson, who was coaching Gibbs and Sonic and Knuckles in Detroit. He obviously values the running back. Could you see Ben Johnson and the Bears moving up and getting Jeanty? Like, who else, I guess, is down there? Would, like, the Saints possibly?
I don't know. Jeremiah said the other day that it feels like Jacksonville's the pick at five for Jeanty. Okay. And a lot of people have him mocked to the Raiders, so could Jacksonville move up a couple of spots? Maybe.
They could. Or, like, teams know that he's not going to fall past five, so if you really want him, you got to get above them.
You got to jump in front. So that's some of the background for the Patriots and their selection at four. If somebody moves up for Ashton Jeanty, that is good news for the Patriots.
Flip side, could the Patriots, if it goes the order that it is, I think you and I would be upset if they passed on Jeanty, but does the trade value go up there?
Maybe.
I was thinking Sanders would be the trade, but could you get a good...
Good point. Maybe you raffle, off the pick and you drop to 10, which is kind of the floor where you and I would be comfortable.
Yep, Bears at 10.
The Bears come up the board to number four and you kind of raffle it off to the highest bidder. Maybe.
Something to think about. So something to chew on these next couple of days.
That's the backdrop for pick four. It could all just be nonsense, just 2 days outside of the draft, which is the way I would honestly lean. But let's give you guys we like in this draft, Keith. We've gone through all the different positional groups, given you an overview.
Yeah.
We've narrowed it down to five players we like, five players we don't. You want to go first?
I'll go first. I think we're going to have a lot of overlap here. We've talked about all these different guys when we've taken the positions into account. You want me to go 5-1?
Sure.
Five, Tyler Warren. I think there's a couple of good tight ends in this draft, but I think he'd be a guy that could really help Drake May quite a bit. I think you saw what kind of impact Brock Bowers has had immediately. Now he needs help around him, but how good he was right away. So I'll go Tyler Warren, 5. Ashton Jeanty, 4. I think there's a clear-cut difference between him and the next group of running backs. It might be a deep running back class, but I think there's a clear elite number one guy. I've kind of backed myself into a corner here. I might not be thrilled just because it's not an exciting position, but the need is overwhelming, and I do think he's the best offensive lineman in the class. Will Campbell would be number 3 on my list. Abdul Carter, number 2. And then Travis Hunter, who we've talked about for months on end, is my far and away clear-cut number 1 prospect in this draft.
So on Will Campbell,
yes.
And me and you had a slightly different approach to this. I'll give you my list in a moment. Okay. On Will Campbell, Mel Kiper came out with his top prospects, his big board today. Campbell is 9. One spot after Membu.
Okay.
Daniel Jeremiah, who I like. I think we all know Kiper. I like Jeremiah's work leading up to the draft at NFL Network. He has Campbell 11.
Yeah, that's kind of low.
And I think Membu at 9. So both of them have Membu higher than Campbell. And I wonder if that's now some league intel or some sourcing going around.
Yeah, that I don't like. If he's not even the best offensive lineman, that's not ideal. I view him as the best offensive lineman, and I view him as a left tackle. So that's why I would have him as high as I do.
So, but average those two together. Those two guys who we all know, Kiper. I like Jeremiah. Say he's the 10th pick. That helps illustrate how much you're reaching at 4. And maybe if a team like the Bears were going to move up for Jeanty, maybe you could drop down and still get Campbell. Maybe that is more in play than I thought.
So Cam Ward is going to go number 1 to the Titans. Some big boards have him like 9 or 10 as prospect.
Oh,
so that's another big reach.
Schefter wrote yesterday, there are some teams with no first-round grades on quarterbacks in this draft, and Cam Ward would have gone 7th out of the quarterbacks a year ago.
Wow.
That's what Schefter wrote. So after all the guys taken in the first round.
Now, I get of all positions to reach on, I understand. You're going to do it more on quarterback than...
I would have taken him after Penix.
Yeah.
I know you like Knicks. Neither of us like McCarthy. So for me, he would have gone fifth, I guess, last year.
Yeah, yeah.
But whatever. I mean, that's what Schefter said. All right, here's my list. You can watch on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. I will tweet these out at Jones and Keefe as well if you missed any of Keefe's list. So I took a slightly different approach when it came to my top five. I gave you some players they could get it for, some players maybe more in the mix at 38 or later on. I still like Will Johnson. I know there are injury concerns, the corner out of Michigan. He's a player that I feel like is right there neck and neck as a corner with Travis Hunter. I prefer Hunter because he could also be a wide receiver. Will Johnson, locked out corner at Michigan. If you can trade down and get him, if you can trade up at the end of the first round and get him, he's dropping in some of these mocks. He may be in play on early day two. So I like Will Johnson. I think Josh Simmons is the best tackle in the class out of Ohio State. I think he's the best transition to left tackle, better than Campbell, better than Membu. I prefer him to guys like Connerly and even Banks at Texas. So that's my favorite tackle in the draft. I think he's in line in a trade up in the 20s. Now, if we're talking at pick four, I like Tyler Warren, the tight end out of Penn State. Leg is very versatile. You can line him up as a wildcat quarterback. I'm not sure he's quite Brock Bowers, but he can be a dominant tight end. You know I love Ashton Jeanti. If Hunter and Abdul Carter are gone, Jenty's my pick at four, the running back out of Boise State. My favorite player in the draft at a position of need, Keith, and I think he's going to be there at 38. I like Luther Burden out of Missouri. And so if they're going to get a receiver, that's the receiver I want. I don't love McMillan. Yeah. I don't love Abuka. I don't love Golden. Travis Hunter's going to be gone, and I'm not even sure he's a wide receiver. Luther Burden, to me, is the receiver I want. I think need matches up with the area where he's going to go in the draft. And maybe instead of missing on Ladd McConkey a year ago, you get your Ladd McConkey in Luther Burden. That's the guy I like the most. Fit matching up with a need for the Patriots. So there are top five. You can see those at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. Follow along. We'll continue draft coverage all the way up through draft night, which is just a couple of days away. We'll mix in some thoughts on the Celtics. What we think of Jason Tatum and a dominant win over the Orlando Magic. It was a mixed bag. We'll get to it next.